What's going on, boys? It's Lucas here. We are back in Wilmington, North Carolina with Dan Tyne and Tommy Olson. Booling down here. Me and Tommy got here yesterday. Dan's been down here for like 5 days now. How you boys doing?
Pretty good. You know, last week before I start my job, nice to chill, go to the beach for a little bit, see the boys. It's been a fun week. I'm doing well.
Yep, feeling good. 8 to 5 starting to get to me, so getting down here was nice.
Absolutely. Missed the Wilmington area, missed the beach.
We were driving to Walmart yesterday. Lucas didn't know where to go. Like, it's just rough. Turning down the wrong streets, couldn't get back to school from the street right next to the UNCW campus. So, it was a rough couple days for Lucas, like getting back to the swing of things, but you know, it happens.
I'm here and I'm better than ever. I'm just happy to be back. Me and Dan hit the beach earlier today. It was cloudy in the morning. As soon as the sunshine came out, me and Dan were on the sand playing a little spike. It was a good time this morning.
I didn't make it out. I woke up a little late, didn't get going, and had some cleaning to do, moving out of the house, so.
Yeah, you know what.
Exactly. Moving stuff out of his house into ours, so. Might have to keep Tommy's furniture around for a little bit if it fits well in the house. Don't know if you'll get it back.
That couch might fit well if you got three set up here.
Tommy's going to be a couch surfer next semester. We're just going to leave it in here for him to sleep on it whenever he wants to come.
Put it in Ryan's room.
Yeah. Just the smallest room.
Put it in there. It can be like a pool room, you know. All the boys come over. We can just chill in Ryan's room on the couch. It'll be great.
Dude, you have a massive room.
Yeah, Dan's got the biggest room. I took the second biggest, and Ryan's got the biggest bathroom, but, you know, I don't really care about that, so. It's great. But, yeah, you know, we've just been hanging out ever since, watching some baseball, you know, shooting back some Jim Beam, honey, right now. Just kind of bulling, you know. I miss this. So, again, really excited to be back. And, you know, moving into baseball, All-Star break's approaching. We've talked about, like, the teams who have just, like, blown it out of the water now. And obviously, we're going to go through our ballot here for who we think deserves to be on the All-Star team. So let's start here
We're just going with the three finalists on the ballot, too. Like, if the guys didn't get in the top three of the vote, then we're not going to pick them to get into the All-Star thing. Mm-hmm. You know, because already down to three people, so we're obviously not going to pick someone outside of those three because they had no shot at making it. So we'll see if our predictions are actually right.
All right, so let's start with the NL here. And NL catchers, Tommy, who you got?
I got Grandal.
Grandal.
Pretty apparent race right now. At least both sides of the catchers. Grandal's having a good season, but so I went him. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, I've also got Grandal. I mean, most home runs in the NL, highest WAR. I mean, Yasmani's started off kind of slow, but he's been hot for the last couple of weeks. I mean, I was between him and Contreras, but I feel like Contreras has kind of slowed down after his hot start. Mm-hmm. I think Yasmani's just kind of earned it right now, so. Going with him.
Yeah, I took Contreras. I mean, higher average, like one less home run, just as many RBI. I mean,
Yasmani's way better defensively, too. Like, behind the plate.
Contreras is a cannon, but other than that, not really. But,
way better defensively.
I mean, honestly, they're so close. Like, Contreras got him 30 points on average, roughly. And then I think Grandal's got 2 runs on him, 1 home run, 1 RBI, and 2 more stolen bases. So it's pretty tight race overall. I mean, I went with Contreras. I think you could kind of go either way. Mm-hmm. I feel like defensive catching, it doesn't really matter for All-Star voting. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm picking a catcher to have on my team right now, yeah, I'd probably pick Grandal, but I feel like for All-Star-wise, I'm taking Contreras this year.
Yeah, I feel like Contreras could just make it just because the Cubs fans are coming out. You know, Albert Almora is in the finals for his position. Like, come on. Cubs, that's just the Cubs fans showing out. So I feel like Contreras could get in just for that. But, I mean, Tommy picked his fantasy team catcher. Lucas picked his. So,
kind of
what you expect. But unbiased, I'm going Yasmani Grandal.
Can't go against it.
Fair enough. All right. NL first baseman. I got Freddie Freeman.
I got Bell. I know he's on my fantasy team, but.
I also have Josh Bell as my first baseman.
I've been the odd man out for the first two picks here. well, let me make my case for Freddie real quick, and then. You guys can make your case for Bell. I mean, Freddie's hitting .314, 21 bombs, 56 RBIs. I know Bell's got him in RBIs, but, I mean, dude, .314 for Freddie, that's
314. Bell's batting 312.
314 with 21 so, ball. I mean,
it's pretty even too.
Yeah, but I'm taking Freddie, man.
But then again, at least in All Star voting, like, it's always the guy who breaks out too. Sometimes that gets the ballot.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
And based on, I mean, the season, it's pretty tough to choose. But yeah, I'm going Bell on my fantasy team too. So
yeah, I'm going Bell. I mean, just with what they mean to their team, I feel like Bell is so valuable to the Pirates. Like, and he set the record for most total bases in a month for, like, I don't even know what it was. I think it was Pirates franchise history, and I think it was most of a month since Willie Mays did it back in, like, the 40s. So, I mean, Bell's just having, like, a historic year right now. 66 RBIs. I'm pretty – that's got to be up there for the tops in the majors. Don't know off the top of my head, but –
he's got the most RBIs.
I mean, I feel like just from, like, a breakout thing, what they mean to their team, I'll go Josh Bell.
I mean, again, that's one of the – same thing that we were just talking – it's literally neck and neck. But – I mean,
it's another thing where the Braves just come out in the All-Star voting. Like, I know Brian McCann, Nick Markakis, they're in the finals for
exactly.
the All-Star thing.
That's annoying.
So I feel like Freddie Freeman will just get the vote just because the Braves. But I'm going with Josh Bell.
Yeah, I mean, Bell does lead the majors in RBIs, 66. Yelich falling close behind with 62. Then Bellinger and Arenado. But again, it's neck and neck there. Yeah. I think it could go either way. All right, second baseman for the NL. Dan, who you got?
I have Ketel Marte.
Is that consensus?
Oh yeah, consensus.
I also have Ketel Marte.
He's on pace for like 40 bombs this year. I mean, I don't really think the other second baseman really come close.
Maybe Moustakas is a second. But
yeah, like, Moustakas on the IL for a little bit, so his stats aren't really there.
Yeah.
But I mean, Marte's on pace for 40 bombs, highest WAR for second baseman, so he deserves it. Having kind of a breakout year right now, so.
I mean, we all gave Tommy shit for him. I'm pretty sure, you know, I gave him some shit, but overall, I was like, Ketel Marte is still a solid player, and this has been his year so far.
Yep.
And I honestly, I don't know if he'll hit 40 bombs, but I think he'll easily break 30 this year. Yeah, I think he'll be within, like, 33 to 37 range by the end of the year.
I feel like everybody's just home runs are just shooting up, too. I know the ball, like, they took down the seams and stuff like that, but...
something with the piece in the middle or whatever.
Yeah. So. He's breaking out for sure. What we got next? Shortstop?
Yeah, we move on to shortstop next.
Third base.
We'll do shortstop. I got Baez, NL shortstop. I mean, he's just talked about defensive-wise too. He's so good with the glove. He's been really good for the Cubs again this year. Like I hate the Cubs, but I mean Baez is just and he's fun for the MLB. Pretty much everyone likes him with his flair and stuff. So that's why I gave it to Baez this year. And his stats obviously are really good too.
Yeah, I got Trevor Story. I mean, he's been raking this year. He's arguably just as good as or even a better defender than Baez. Like Story's really good in the field. I feel like people overlook that about him because people think about him as just like a home run kind of guy. But he hits. He's really really good in the field too. And I'll just go Trevor Story. I mean, 17 bombs, 12 stolen bases, on pace for probably like a 40-25 season, which is insane. I mean, I know he gave Kenneth crap for that pick in the second round too, but it's working out pretty well. I know Story's hurt right now, so maybe he won't play in the All-Star game, but he definitely gets my vote.
Yeah, I've got Story too. I think it's close though. Baez went on a little cold streak as of recent, but I think he's out of it now. Story is better defensively. Or, I mean, they're both. I don't know about better. They're both really good defensively. Baez is a better highlight reel.
Baez is the flair. The free swinger.
If you look at the stats, it's nearly identical.
Exactly.
Story's got a little bit better average, but their walk to K rates are roughly the same.
They're both terrible.
They both K up a lot
and don't walk at all.
Well, I'm gonna go to Story.
Again, like, I feel like usually there's been. In the years past, we've done this. I know we did this last year for a podcast, and it was kind of like most of them were clear favorites, but I feel like this year there's two or three guys who are kind of like always kind of like pushing it or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
But yeah, I mean, again, that's with Story being hurt right now, I don't even if he would win the vote, I don't think he'd make the All-Star game. I think there's just kind of no reason to play him.
Yeah.
After just coming off of an injury, but yeah, that's definitely tough. All right, third baseman for the NL. Who you got, Tom?
I think a consensus here, don't we? Arenado.
I also have Arenado.
Yeah, I mean, I have Arenado as well. He's just been so good. Like, he starts out cold every year, too.
He's just so good.
And then just goes on a tear, pretty much when they have, like, a week straight at home. And only, like, seven bombs. Yeah. And get like 20 RBIs or whatever. Yeah, it's just, and again, we don't even have to mention the glove with him. He's probably the top third baseman in the NL. Yeah. I mean, Machado's probably right behind him with fielding wise, and honestly, I would say hitting wise, he's starting to heat up finally. But yeah, you just can't take it away from Arenado this year. He's too good.
He's just the best. Yeah.
He's too good.
Yeah, I mean, the other finalists are Chris Bryant and Josh Donaldson. And Bryant's gone on the IL, missed some time. His stats aren't there, and Donaldson has been terrible. That's just another one where the Braves are just voting for their people. So I really think this is like a runaway.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, moving on to outfield. I guess we'll just do all three of ours. I think, do we both have Yelich and Bellinger out there?
Yeah.
I think that's got to be consensus.
Pretty apparent.
Straight bombs. And yeah, they've been insane. Bellinger has the most defensive run saved in the MLB right now, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even care about his
fielding. It doesn't even matter about defense. But, like, yeah, he's been lights out. He's, like, honestly, he got cold for, like, two games, I think, where he was, like, 0-7, and then he went, like, 7-14, so.
Yeah, he's batting .356.
Yeah, there's no way you can't give it to either of those guys. Yelich, home run leader, 29 now, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
So, can't give it to him. All right, my last guy, I got Charlie Blackmon.
I got Blackmon, too.
I have it as well. I mean, I feel like before...
That's a good
sneaky
pick.
I mean,
obviously
I feel
not.
Like before last week, we wouldn't have even had Charlie Blackmon in the conversation. And last week, he batted, I think, 536 with, like, 7 bombs.
Against the Padres
and
for
now,
most of that.
And now his stats look really, really good. I mean, there's obviously an argument for Acuna, too. He's having a really good year, but, I mean, I'm just going to go Chuck Nasty, you know? My third Rocky on the All-Star team. Why not? It's fun. They can hit.
Yep.
They can mash. Absolutely. All right. Starting pitcher for the NL. We might have a little bit of a disagreement here. I think I gave it to Ryu this year.
Yeah, I got Indian as well.
I got Scherzer.
I mean, Scherzer K's up a ton of people. You know, he's fun to watch. He's got a lot of passion. But I think, I mean, overall, like, Ryu's got a better ERA, better whip, and he's walked 5 people this whole year.
Scherzer's,
that's ridiculous.
I think Scherzer had a couple bad starts to start the year.
Yeah,
he gave
exactly.
Up like 5 or 6 runs, but other than that, he's been like locked in. Like his ERA was 5 after like the first 2 weeks, and now it's down to 2.6. Like you take out those couple starts, his ERA probably would be almost just as good. He's got 4 higher K per 9.
You can't take out the starts. Yeah, exactly. You can't take out starts.
But I mean, I think Scherzer's been the better pitcher for most of the time. Like, I feel like Ryu's got a 93% left on base percentage. Like, it's just, he's just boring. I feel like he just gets out of some jams. Scherzer's just, he's a machine. Like, he's just an absolute machine.
I think Scherzer's definitely the better pitcher.
I mean, Ryu,
who had the
better season is
I'm giving it to Ryu.
Scherzer. He's the WAR leader by 1.
But like, see, he's the WAR leader. MLB. He's the WAR leader because Ryu's whatever replacements are really, really good pitchers. We discussed this today about how deep the Dodger staff is. So his win above replacement wouldn't be as high. So WAR's obviously a good stat and it's important, but at the end of the day, like, what if you have Trout in the outfield and then like his backup is Mookie Betts, George Springer? Like his WAR wouldn't be as high.
Yeah.
So like that just kind of speaks to how bad the Nationals replacements are.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to take anything away from Scherzer. I think long-term, he's obviously the better pitcher. And even going, like, by the end of the year, he will probably be the better pitcher. But for the first half of this year, Ryu's been the better pitcher.
Yeah.
The whole time.
I still think it's Scherzer.
He's averaging more fantasy points, too, as well.
There it is. That's what matters.
I mean, I think Scherzer's had, 10 straight quality starts, something like that?
I don't think...
More than that.
I think Ryu has 2, though. Like,
Scherzer's just... He's just a way better pitcher. Like, without a doubt. I mean, Ryu's, I don't know. So that's on the IL. He just doesn't do it for me. I just don't really like him. Scherzer's also got better underlying stats, too. I'm a fan. And he strikes out more guys. So I'll go Scherzer. I mean, Ryu, he deserves it. I mean, if he gets it, I'm not going to argue. But I just think Scherzer's the better pitcher.
Mm-hmm. Again, probably right. Scherzer probably is the better pitcher. But I think Ryu had the better first half. But again, you know, that's... It's tough because you know what you're getting out of Scherzer. Like we said with like the breakout factor, like Ryu had that kind of breakout factor this year. He stayed healthy. I think he missed like 2 starts total.
Big algorithm guy.
Can't hate on that. But
working so far, right?
Yeah, right. All right, so going to relief pitcher for the NL. This one, I mean, I picked Kirby Yates. kind of the only reason I wanted to include a relief pitcher, because I could pick a Padre,
yeah,
and I didn't feel comfortable picking a Padre for any other position.
I've got Will Smith. He's on my fantasy team. He's been solid all year, though.
All right,
Kirby Yates is good, though.
He's Kirby Yates, the save leader in MLB, hasn't blown a save this year, so.
Yeah.
I mean, got to take Yates there. He's Kawhi Kirby's been a monster for the pod, so really happy with that.
Yeah, he's been really good.
Yeah, I guess I'll go Kirby Yates because he's a save leader. The Padres probably aren't going to get anyone else on the All-Star team, so.
It's usually how it goes.
If they're going to get anyone, it'll be Kirby Yates, so.
Yep.
I think Kirby Yates is definitely going to be an All-Star, probably the only one on the Padres, so.
Machado had a slow start. Tatis was hurt. They'll be All-Stars probably next year, but yeah, we'll get to that when the time comes. All right, moving on to the AL. Catcher, we got a consensus, I think. It's got to be Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, that's Gary.
Okay. I'm the biggest Gary hater known to man, but this dude, he has like 25 bombs right now, so
yeah.
You just can't. Even if he does play in a Cracker Jack box and he has like a few 360 home runs. He also hit one like 480 last night.
25 bombs in like 53 games too.
Yeah.
Which is better. I'm pretty sure he has the highest like home run to at bat thing. And I think it's like MLB or Yankees history. He's ahead of Aaron Judge. Like, people sleep on Gary. People sleep on him. So he's having an amazing year. No one's close. I mean, the other finalists are James McCann. He was batting like 330. He's pretty good. Then Robinson Chirinos. Like, this, no one's close. No one's close.
All right, moving on to first baseman now. That was a pretty quick one, but first baseman, I have Carlos Santana.
Yeah, I've got Santana as well.
Got Voit.
Weird. I would have never guessed that one. I mean, Voit's been good again. His on-base percentage is really high, but Santana, 295, 16 bombs, 46 RBIs. I mean, he's been playing really good first base for them too. First base DH, you know, he's kind of splits time, but yeah, I'm taking Santana.
I mean, I feel like the Indians suck. It's not really doing anything. The Yankees had so many injuries during the first half of the year, and Voit kind of carried the team. He got him batting two hole for a while, on base percentage 390. I mean, he's just doing what the Yankees need him to do. His defense still sucks, but it's better than last year. He's improved. And I just feel like value to the team, I'm going with Voit. I mean, Santana's stats are better, but I mean, they're empty stats. They don't really matter.
Santana's stats are better, and he's a better defender, Dan just said, but he's picking Voit anyway.
No, I mean, Voit's improved on his defense. Last year.
Okay, but he's still not a great... He's like this. I think he has like negative seven defensive run save this year. He was pretty bad when I...
Yeah, but I still think Voit means way more to his...
But that's not what the argument is.
I mean, I wouldn't say that, because the Yankees are so good.
Like, I mean,
if Voit left the team, it wouldn't be much of a difference.
Not now, but like when they were hurt.
Their lineup at the beginning half of the year, we were tossing out like... We had Mike Tauchman starting in our outfield for like three straight
months. No, yeah, at the beginning of the year, but not now.
Yeah,
but
it's just...
Now you just put in Encarnacion, and it's like, yeah, who do you... Yeah. So, again, I think Santana is having the better year, and Dan just kind of made the argument for that, but then picked Voit anyway.
No,
so.
I mean, I'm going with Voit. I think Voit means way more than Santana does.
But is that the argument for an All-Star team?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he deserves to be an All-Star.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing, but I think Santana deserves to be an All-Star more based off of stats.
But his team sucks.
Who
cares?
Why
would he deserve it?
What do you mean, why would he deserve
it? His team is terrible.
He's doing everything he can, though.
What's the point, though?
Oh, my God.
Like, they're empty.
That's
Santana's
going to
make it
because
the All-Star game's in Cleveland, but...
Yeah, but... And he's been better. Even if it's not helping his team win as much. Like, you can't say Voit's, like... Voit is responsible for every win the Yankees have.
I mean, definitely not, but I still rather have Voit.
Fair enough. Tom?
I'm Santana.
Santana, fair enough. All right, second baseman. I went Tommy La Stella. Big breakout year, hitting a ton of bombs out of nowhere.
I did as well. He's having a good year. He's been rock solid all year.
I'm going LeMahieu. I don't really think, like, there's... LeMahieu would be the MVP of the first half for the Yankees. This is the way he's played. He's batting 500 with runners in scoring position this year. He's basically exceeded all expectations. Like, I thought the Yankees were stupid passing on Machado and Harper, and LeMahieu has basically blown them all out of the water, and he's a beast defensively, so I'll go LeMahieu. I mean, Tommy La Stella, he's putting up numbers, but I feel like it's kind of the same thing as Santana. They're just empty numbers. So I think LeMahieu's put up, like, basically better numbers, like, in terms of RBIs and runs. and then he's just never going to hit home runs, but he's batting like
3-14. Yeah, and honestly, I mean, though, and I mean, home runs kind of sell in the game today. It's kind of...
Yeah.
And I, again, not saying LeMahieu like doesn't earn it at all, because he's had an incredible year, but...
He's had a way better year than LaSalle has, though. Like, LaSalle's batting 250, and LeMahieu's batting 314, and LeMahieu's a way better defender.
LaSalle's hitting 296 right now.
Oh, I thought he was batting 250. I was looking at... We were watching the Angels game earlier today. I mean, DJ's batting 315.
Yeah.
A higher on-base percentage, too.
Yeah, but LaSalle has 15 bombs.
I mean, LeMahieu's not a power hitter.
How many RBIs does he have, LeMahieu?
LeMahieu has higher RBIs and runs. LeMahieu is batting like 500 with runners and scoring positions this year.
How many RBIs does he have?
48. Okay, I'm looking at Fangraphs right now.
All
right,
41, 46 for LaSalle. I mean,
get out of that.
Wow. Paddock, bases loaded, nobody out. God, just gets out of the inning. I mean, come on. He's back. But, yeah, again, like, it's kind of tough. I mean, you're going to pick LeMahieu.
This one is a way easier argument than Voit. LeMahieu just smiles better. Like, there's really no argument.
Fair enough.
Like, he's better all around. Like, I can see Santana over Voit.
I mean, he's not better power.
I mean, that's not who he is, though.
Okay, so he's not better all around, but...
I mean, he probably could hit home runs if he wanted to, but then his average would fall.
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's never been a home run hitter, and he's played in Coors and Yankee Stadium his whole career, so...
I mean, he's got 9 home runs. That's probably how many he hit, like, 2 years ago in a full season. Or last year, too.
Well, he's been injury-prone a lot, too, though. So, again, that's another big thing for LeMahieu and the Yankees this year. Him just staying healthy.
Yeah. But I think LeMahieu's just... It's easy.
All right, moving on to third base. I got Bregman. Went off to a slow start and then pretty much just been raking ever since.
Yeah. I got Bregman as well. He's been raking lately.
I have Urshela on my all-star ballot. Just, he's probably been the second MVP of the Yankees in the first half, so going with him. Gotta give love to my boy. Beast defensively, batting like 300 something on the year. Great replacement for Andujar. I love it. I mean,
Andujar sucks, so.
Dude, what? He set the rookie's double record.
Last year. This year he's terrible. Well, he's hurt.
He's out for the year.
Well, because he came back and they were like, nope.
Played maybe 5 games the entire season. And Urshela's been carrying, so I'll go with Urshela. Just because I want to.
Just because I want to. I mean, that's... Bregman, 21 bombs, 51 RBIs. Again, he had a slow start, and he's just ramped it up ever since. I mean...
He's the best in the AL.
Yeah, only hitting 260, but 21 bombs, man, it's... Mm-hmm. I'll take Bregman on my team 10 times out of 10 over Urshela.
Probably would, too. I'm just going with Urshela.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, he's probably been this MVP of the Yankees in terms of getting us wins with people.
All right, moving on to the shortstop position in the AL. This one was kind of a weird field. I think it was Correa, Gleyber, and who's the last
Jorge
one?
Polanco.
Jorge Polanco. I went with Gleyber.
Yep, it's Gleyber day.
Yeah.
I went with Polanco. He's just having a good year. I like guys who are breaking out and have, like, because Gleyber's good. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's the second year, but Jorge Polanco, like, just came out of nowhere, kind of.
Yeah, I mean.
So I do like to have that, like, kind of, like, oddball in there. He's having a really good year. He might not make it in future years, because Gleyber will make it.
I mean, Aaron Judge said yesterday, like, they asked him about Torres. He's like, yeah, Gleyber's the face of this team. He's the future of the Yankees. Aaron Judge said that. I mean, Gleyber's 22. I think people forget about that. But, yeah, I mean, I can see the argument for Polanco. He's batting, like, 330 this year.
I mean, just in Gleyber's last 10 games, hit 387, 4 bombs, and 13 RBIs and 12 runs. Like, he has 47 runs, 46 RBIs, and 18 bombs this year.
Yeah, I mean, Gleyber's...
He filled in it short when Didi was out for the beginning half of this year. So, I mean, again, Jorge Polanco's having a really, really good year. He's got a cycle already this year, but Gleyber's just been unreal.
Yeah, I mean, Gleyber's got more RBIs, more home runs, and, like, 30 less at-bats than Polanco, so... I mean, I'll give it to him. I mean, Polanco's having a great year. I feel like he's slept on, but that's basically a lot of people on the Twins. Like, you can say that about...
The whole Twins team is slept.
Yeah, exactly. Like, CJ Cron's having a great year. We didn't even mention him when we talked about the first baseman.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's just a lot of people on the Twins. You could just say that. Came out of nowhere, having a good year. But I'll go Gleyber again. He means a lot to the Yankees. Gleybay.
Fair enough.
Gotta go with him.
All right, outfield. I think we all have Springer and Trout as our top two.
I don't have Springer in it. I think everyone's got Trout.
All right, everyone's got Trout. And then I have Springer and Gallo as my second two.
I have Springer.
Here's the list right here.
I had Springer and Meadows.
Springer, Meadows. I had Trout, Meadows, and Brantley.
Although Meadows has been garbage this past, like, 2 weeks. But, I mean, he's been so solid first half of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
in there. And he's in my fantasy team, so.
Yeah, I mean, Trout, there's really no argument against him.
No argument.
I mean, I'll speak on Meadows. I mean, the Rays started off, I think, 17-4. And then Meadows went down. I'm pretty sure they're 28-27 ever since. It's like, I think that shows how much Meadows has meant to their team. I mean,
he's back now. They still suck.
But, I mean, he was raking when he first came back. He's just cold right now. I mean, he's the best hitter on the Rays by far, I think. I don't really think anyone comes close. So, I'm going with Meadows. And then Brantley, I mean, he just hits. He's great.
Yeah, Brantley's good.
I'll go with Brantley.
I almost went with Brantley. But Springer, if he
I think stayed, Springer's just Springer's been hurt for so
he's
long.
He's just been hurt, but
I'm not going to put him in.
He was raking.
He didn't really earn his spot. I mean, he was raking, but he's hurt. It's like, how can you put in a guy who missed half of the first half?
Dude, he's literally been out for like 2 weeks. Meadows was out for just as long. Springer is better in every single category than Meadows. Like, picking Meadows over Springer is just so dumb. Meadows is hitting 302.
I think Brantley is a...
Okay, whatever.
Brantley to Springer. I think he's a better outfielder.
Meadows is... Springer plays center. Brantley plays right. It's a little different.
The better player. I'd rather like him.
Whatever. Okay, well, Meadows shouldn't be in there then. If you're saying you can't put Springer in because he's been hurt for 2 weeks, when Meadows was hurt for like the same amount of time, Meadows is hitting 302, 33 runs, 12 bombs, 38 RBIs. Like, that's pretty good. But then when you go look at Springer... Springer's hitting 308 with 41 runs, 17 home runs, 43 RBIs. Like, he's better in every single stat. And your argument for not putting Springer is because he's been hurt. Like, Meadows was also hurt, and it obviously affected Meadows more because...
It affected the Rays so much more. They're trash.
That's not what the argument is. You're putting in the best player. The best player is Springer.
But Meadows has earned a spot more than Springer. I've been saying this for every guy. Like, you're just going off stats, but Meadows has meant so much more to the Rays.
Isn't the All-Star game supposed to be the best players? Yeah, I know. Pissed. Now they're trying to hit Tatis, but whatever. The MVP is, like, the most valuable player. So the best guy to his team. The guy who meant most to his team.
You're saying the guy who means the most to his team
is the MVP.
Shouldn't it be in the All-Star game?
No.
That doesn't make any sense.
And I mean, you could argue Charlie Morton's meant more to the Rays than...
I know. I have Charlie Austin Morton as my starting pitcher for the All-Star game.
But...
Over Verlander and Cole. Just what he's doing this year for the Rays is insane. I have Morton as my starting pitcher if I was going to pick one.
Okay. Well, that's... But Springer's better stat... I feel like All-Star game is more stat-oriented than how much they help their team.
I mean, you can say that, but I'm not doing that. I mean, I think Meadows has just meant so much to his team, and he deserved a spot in the All-Star game. I don't think Springer deserves a spot in the All-Star game.
Okay, so what about Tatis? Without Tatis, we were like 8 games below 500, but since he's been, like, when he's playing, we're like 15 games above 500.
You can't argue for that, because Tatis is nowhere close to the skill level of Story or Baez. Like,
I don't think Meadows should be as close to Springer as you guys are saying.
I mean, Meadows is 13th in the MLB in WAR. Like, and he's missed that much time, which is crazy.
Yeah, but look, where's Springer?
He's not even in the top 30.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
Well, that's why, again.
He hasn't met
okay,
as
but
as
then.
He,
okay, whatever.
Like,
I mean, that's
Meadows
just.
Is just
we're just.
Better.
Like, yeah, okay, no. Springer's a better player, but Meadows means more to his team.
I mean, you could argue Meadows has been a better player, too.
No, you can't! When you look at the stats, Springer is better.
I mean, Meadows. You said Meadows missed just as much time.
Yeah, but. And Springer's stats are better. So how can you say Meadows is better? Would you rather have George Springer or Austin Meadows on your team?
Probably. It's close. I mean, I'm not saying Springer's a bad player.
This year, I take Springer.
I mean, in years past, though?
In years past, but, like, for future years, I'm thinking, because he's a few years younger, but...
That's fair.
Springer's a better player this year. I do see you're coming from impact.
Yeah, I mean, We're just arguing what, like, the All-Star game means. But, like, I think Springer is a much better player than Meadows. But, I mean, if you're picking off of who you think's meant more to their team, then, yeah, I could definitely see Meadows. Because you take Springer out and you call up Yordan Alvarez or Kyle Tucker, who have been, like, I mean, that just speaks to how good the Astros farm system is, but I don't think that should be a factor in All-Star game voting.
Yeah.
Which is my argument back to WAR, because their replacement is still really good, which is why Springer's WAR is obviously not as good.
Yeah.
Because when the Rays take out Meadows, who goes and plays outfield for them?
I feel like that puts more pressure on the player to perform, though. And Meadows has just lived up to expectations.
I mean, not recently. Springer really was never cool.
Yeah, not recently, but the 2 weeks after he came back from the IL, he was batting like .550. Like, it was crazy. I mean, he's not going to bat that the entire season, but he was absolutely raking. I mean, every player goes through hot and cold streaks. So, I mean, you can't fault the guy for being cold right now.
No, but I just think overall, Springer's stats are better. So, all right, we'll move on from this. That was the most contentious we got.
I mean, I just don't think stats mean anything, though. That's the thing. You can't just look at stats and get the value of a player.
All right, moving on to DH. I have Hunter Pence. He's had a breakout year. I think he has just as good of stats as anyone else in the DH running between Nelson Cruz and JD Martinez. And, I mean, it's cool. I mean, Hunter Pence is such a quirky dude. Everyone's kind of liked him for a while now, so it's good to see him bounce back and have a good year.
Yeah, I have Hunter Pence, too.
I've got JD. I mean, he hasn't had the year he really should have. And I know Hunter Pence has better stats, but I just feel like JD's better. I know.
He's a better player, but I mean, I feel like going back to the Pence has meant so much to the team. Rangers are.
I feel like when fans want to see, like in the All-Star game, they're not going to want to see Hunter Pence there.
I don't know, man. People like Hunter Pence.
They do.
His stance, his batting stance.
I don't really give a fuck about JD. I don't like JD at all, but.
I mean, yeah, people want to see it. I mean, I don't think anyone's arguing that Pence is a better overall player than JD Martinez, but put a better stats at this point, and his old age, his breakout is basically giving the Rangers hope to get a wild card right now. I mean, I know they're not in it anymore because the Red Sox passed them the other day, but I mean, Pence has just meant so much to the team, and his stats compare this time, so I can have the stats argument and the MVP argument.
There you go.
I'll go with Hunter Pence.
I have Pence as well, and Tommy went JD. All right, moving on to pitcher. Dan, you mentioned you have Morton. Morton's been lights out this year, but I just think Verlander's been the better pitcher this year.
Verlander, yeah. I know his impact isn't as great as like a Morton, but he's the best pitcher in the AL, I think.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument for like Verlander, Cole, Morton. Like, there's an argument for a bunch of guys. Maybe even Giolito. I mean, besides his last start.
His last start got blown up, but yeah.
You could go Giolito. I mean, he's got, I think, 10 wins. I don't know if anyone else. I think Odorizzi is the only one that has as many wins as Giolito, but I mean, I just have Morton. I mean, 2.31 ERA, better ERA than Verlander, almost as high of a K per nine. The only thing Morton doesn't do as well as Verlander is eat innings, but he's been a big reason as why the Rays are in first place. I mean, everyone points to Blake Snell, but as the ace of that staff, but Morton's the ace right now, and I'm going with Charlie Morton.
Absolutely. Yeah, I could see Giolito in there, too. I mean, he's just been unreal this year. He was ass last year.
Yeah.
Ass is, like, first two starts this year, too.
Yeah.
And everyone thought, oh, he's same old. And then he just flipped the switch. Now he's been a beast.
Like, changed his arm slot and everything. Yeah, it's good to see. Like, Giolito was a top prospect. Everyone was like, highly touted. And then he just kind of, like...
He fell off.
Yeah, just nothing ever happened with him. Yeah. So everyone kind of gave up on him. But this is the year he's had his bounce back year. So that's good to see. Yeah, I think I'm going to change my pick from Verlander to Cole. I think Cole's been better than Verlander. I mean,
Cole's got a 14K per nine.
Yeah.
That's absolutely nuts.
It's just...
Yeah, I think I'd have Morton and then Cole and then Verlander and then Giolito if I was ranking the pitchers who I'd start for the All-Star game.
It's just...
They're close. I mean, all these arguments for one player or another, I mean... Like with Springer and Meadows, I mean, I'm arguing against Springer, but Springer deserves a spot.
Yeah, you can't say that Springer's not good. You can't say
he doesn't deserve a spot in the All-Star game. Like, he does. I just think Meadows more. Same with these pitchers. Like, Verlander, Cole, Giolito, any of them could start. I just think Charlie Morton deserves it the most. I mean, they'll probably all make the roster, but I just think Morton should be the starter.
I like that. All right, relief pitcher. I went on Avito just because his slider is so gross and I want to see it in the All-Star game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he hasn't given... He's come in 13 times this year with inherited runners in scoring position and hasn't let any of them score. So, speaks how filthy he is, but...
I'm going Brad Hands just because of stats.
I like Brad Hand.
Yeah, I'll go...
Brad Hand, former Padre.
I'll go Chapman. Hasn't blown a save this entire year. One pitcher of the month last month. And I'll go Ryan Pressly. Just because that dude is a stud.
Yeah.
For the Astros. Yep. Like, he's not a closer, but dude is a stud. So, I mean, I know I picked two, and I didn't really care about relief pitchers in the NL.
No, but... I don't really care about relief pitchers at all.
But yeah, I'll go.
I had to pick Kirby, so.
Yeah.
We had to do it for the AL, too.
All right,
we're moving on to the fantasy baseball side of things now. I know this is what you boys came here to listen to. We're just going to jump right into power rankings. Not too much to say since me and Dan did our last one. We'll pretty much cover it all in power rankings.
I mean, they're...
Playoffs are approaching.
Yeah.
I feel like some people made some moves too late to try and make a playoff push.
Yeah, so, we can talk about the trades that went down since the last podcast that Lucas and I did. So we'll start off with the most recent trade that me and Ryan did, Soroka and Peter Alonso for James Paxton. So I know Lucas was telling me that he doesn't really like Paxton. So what do you think about that trade, Lucas?
I think it benefits both of you guys. Ryan really needs to ramp it up if he wants to make the playoffs. And that Soroka and Alonso will give him that early push. But Soroka is going to be on an innings limit this year. I don't think Alonso is going to hit this many home runs like throughout the rest of the year. But... I'm still going to say Ryan won the trade. Paxton's a long-term play for Dan. Dan's pretty much already in the playoffs, so he's trying to make a guy who... He'd rather have Paxton than Soroka. And then with Alonso, he had a lot of guys coming off the IL, so it didn't mean as much to him. But the thing I just don't like about Paxton is, yeah, he'll have that game. He can strike out 10 people a game, but he also... He's a fly ball pitcher in Yankee Stadium. I've said this... ever since the year started, since he's been traded. And it's shown he's had bad starts because he can't keep the ball in the yard. Yeah. And that's why I'm not a huge fan of Paxton.
Yeah, when I first saw this trade, I think I texted Luke immediately. I was like, what is Dan doing? and I thought it was lopsided as fuck for like a good 2 hours. Then I looked at it again, and Dan had Judge coming back.
Yep.
So he didn't really need Alonso as much. I mean, it would be nice to have him there for Puig, but then he's got Jeanette on the DL too, or the IL. So if he had him coming back, he'd play solid. That doesn't really factor much. And then he also has Soroka, who's going to be on an innings limit. And deep in the playoffs, will not have him. So essentially, Brady needed those players now, which would help his team now. And Dan's in the playoffs. So Dan traded almost nothing for Paxton at the end of the day.
Well, so I mean, think, still basically. Traded Alonso, and I think Alonso's going to be a lot better than...
Then
Jeanette's going to be in long-term.
But the thing is... He traded, like, maybe a couple more points, but at the end of the day, he's getting a pitcher for deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's how
I like that trade.
My reason right now...
It's a good trade for both of them, I think.
Dan's losing this trade until those innings limit cut off for Soroka.
Yeah. I mean, my reasoning behind the trade is that...
That won't matter, I think.
Soroka's underlying stats are pretty terrible. He's got a 5% home run to fly ball rate, and his K per 9 is 6, which is not what you want. I mean, he's a big ground ball pitcher, pitches to weak contact. Yeah. I feel like he's just going to catch up to him eventually. And Paxton has the ability to strike out 10 every single game. I mean, I know there's concern. Like Lucas said, pitching Yankee Stadium, fly ball pitcher, but you're not going to hit fly balls if you can't hit the pitch. And Paxton's absolutely nasty, so... I like him over that. And then Peter Alonso is probably the best hitter on my team this year. But, I mean, like Lucas said, I had Judge coming back and I had Skuri Jeanette coming back. And by the end of the next week, I was going to have to drop one of the hitters on my team. And I was debating about dropping David Dahl or Nick Senzel. And I think those guys are probably undroppable. But I would have had to drop one to activate Skuri Jeanette. So, basically solves that problem for me. And then I feel like Paxton's a top 15, maybe borderline top 10 pitcher when he's healthy. I think Soroka's probably top 30.
Yeah.
Like, at best, before his innings limit and before everything. And he's had shoulder problems, too. So, I feel like the Braves are going to be a little conservative with him. So, that's the reason I made the trade. And I feel like Ryan, I mean, losing Paxton hurts.
He needs immediate help.
Losing Paxton hurts, but Soroka's on a roll right now. And Alonso is so much better than whoever else he had in his utility spot, especially losing... Haniger, Mondesi, Pence in the last couple days. Ryan needed that hitter. And Alonso, I think, has hit like 5 bombs this week since I traded him away. So,
yeah.
I mean,
you can afford to lose him.
Yeah, I think all in all, I think it's a fair trade. I mean, you could say either team won it, you know.
I mean,
first glance, definitely. I mean, it's just first glance is definitely not a good trade. Like, definitely doesn't look like a good trade. But like, if it was flipped, if you were 2-9 and Brady was 8-3,
oh, I wouldn't have done that trade.
like
I wouldn't have traded away.
It wouldn't have been good for you.
Yeah.
But
exactly, it's just all about needs there. So I think everyone got what they needed. And playing for the future. So it was a good trade.
Exactly.
And it was actually, it was a good trade in the end.
Exactly. I feel like if I made that trade, I feel like Ryan wouldn't have made that trade if I traded for him after Paxton had those back-to-back 8-inning, like 14 strikeout starts. I feel like Ryan wouldn't have done that, but I think Paxton's coming off like an injured list hangover, and I'm betting on his bounce back. That's basically the thing. I think he's a much better pitcher. So, yeah.
All right.
And so we'll move to the other trade that's been made since the last podcast. Michael Brantley for J.D. Martinez. You know, there's a little contention in that group.
Yeah, I definitely don't like it. I mean, yeah, Brantley's having a great season, and J.D.'s not having a good season, but J.D.'s not going to keep that up, and Brantley's not, like, it's not going to be, like, as consistent as it was in the first half, I don't think. And even if it is, it's a first-round pick for a ninth-round pick, I think. So that's just not...
That's what I'm... Yeah, I mean, I don't really see... I feel like this is a typical Kenneth trade, where he looks at the amount of points people had recently, and he pulls the trigger on the trade. Like, he saw, oh, Brantley has more points. I'm going to trade away my first-round pick.
Or he sees...
For Michael Brantley.
Trade. And that could be it.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, J.D. Martinez was just coming off the injured list. I mean, he was a little slow. I mean, Brantley was obviously racking up points because he's batting like third in the Astros lineup. But yeah. J.D. Martinez is arguably the best hitter in baseball. I mean, there's a great argument for that.
Over the past few years, he bats
like 320, 50 home runs, like 120 RBIs. Yeah. Like a lock. He's got the average, he's got the power, he's got the on base, he's got everything. And I feel like Michael Brantley, he's doing good, but he's injury prone. At best, he's maybe like a 25-25 player. So,
I mean, I feel like if we go back to like the need situation, I feel like Connor probably. I mean, obviously you're gonna take JD over Brantley, but if you're Kenneth, there's no reason to trade away a guy who has a much higher ceiling when you're like 4-9 right now, putting up very little points week to week. Like you have to keep those high ceiling guys because you're not gonna do anything if you trade away for safe players. You need people who can carry you week for week. And I feel like JD can do that, whereas Brantley can't do that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Kenneth drafted JD Martinez fourth overall for a reason.
Yeah.
I feel like if we redid the draft today...
He wouldn't pick Brantley over JD.
Yeah. Like, so definitely not. I mean, in the end...
It's whatever. It's not the end of the world.
I mean, I just want to point out, Kenneth said he wasn't going to make a single trade this year. He's already traded away four of his top seven picks, and he dropped his eighth round pick. So, five of his first eight picks aren't even on his team anymore. So, just like to point that out, Kenneth going back on it. We thought it was because he was hammered on Easter, drinking those mimosas in the morning.
We'll never know,
but unless Kenneth's hammered all the time.
Conspiracy.
Exactly. You don't really know. Maybe that's a new conspiracy. Is Kenneth hammered all the time?
Yep.
You never know. I mean, what's that man doing in High Point and his door-to-door internship thing? I mean, good luck this summer, Kenneth.
Active.
Congrats on your internship thing that you're doing.
I thought he came home.
But
was it active?
I don't know.
I don't know what Kenneth's doing. I think he's selling.
He was selling lawn care,
pest control door to door. So congrats on landing an internship, Kenneth. So, I mean, obviously that's distracting for fantasy baseball because I don't think he's checked his team in a little bit to see some trades and accept them. But yeah, that's the thoughts. I forgot about the third trade that was made since the last podcast. Mike Minor for Matt Strom. Lucas made the trade. I'll let him talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, not really a good trade for me so far. Miner's obviously been better than Strom. But I don't know. It'll all balance out at the end. I like watching Strom pitch.
He had some Padres.
Yeah, no, I would never make that trade if he wasn't a Padre. I mean, Strom. I like the way Strom pitches. He pitches with a little bit of passion. And he just kind of, I mean, it's just kind of been like, he's been giving up that one big hit recently. It's been kind of killing him.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, yeah. Kenneth probably fucked me on that trade, guys, but...
Let's go, Kenneth.
Yeah.
We were just hating on him, but he's making big moves.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, objectively, I feel like Lucas lost his trade, but he got his Padres pitcher, so, I mean, there's a reason why I made the trade. I mean, I think when
mentally.
I think at the time, Strom was still on the IL and Mike Minor was PRK 10. I don't know what it is anymore, but
Yeah, I feel like it's just Padres fan getting a Padres pitcher, and I guess Lucas. I mean, Mike Bonner had pretty bad underlying stats, so
I understand.
Maybe he's banking on regression, but
I mean, it's not horrible. It's not like he's losing a top player.
Yeah, I mean, before the season started, I would have said Strom would be better than Mike Minor. I feel like in the end they're going to be about the same. Yeah. I don't think Minor's going to be a top 10 pitcher, but I mean, I feel like Kenneth won this trade, but Lucas got his Padres guy, so he really can't hate. I mean, that's kind of why I traded for Paxton.
Yeah.
I felt like he was a buy low. Like, he's a good pitcher, good buy low, but he's also a Yankees player. Like, I could have gotten a better pitcher, maybe. But, yeah, I mean, I'll bank on Paxton to buy low.
You're watching.
And Lucas is banking on Strom to buy low. So, that's our
little
analysis of the trades.
Shall we get to what everyone's been waiting for?
Big power rankings. So, I was going to put out more power rankings this past week on the LM note, but I knew we were coming down to Wilmington, and I knew a pod would get done.
Yeah.
So I figured, let's just do it over the pod. All right, so let's start at 10. I have Kenneth in the 10 spot. I feel like losing JD and Cole overall just can't. His team just overall has not been putting up the points recently. Like, in the past few weeks, Brendan's definitely been doing a little better than Kenneth.
Yeah, he has, but I just have Brendan there. I just feel like Brendan in 10 spot is just typical. He doesn't really check his team as much.
Yeah, but I feel like he's done enough this year, you know, to work himself out of it. So, I'm happy with Brendan.
He's asking a big baseball
question. The effort level is up. I do appreciate that. But
yeah.
Team-wise, I just don't know. I mean, so, too many relief pitchers.
Brendan did ask a big baseball question about double plays, throwing out runners at home.
Definitely his best baseball question.
Might be scouting out pitchers who have the most times of runners on first and third and have
nobody
the shortstop
out.
Throw home with no one out. So, he's doing his research, just indirectly in a way. Big Cubs guy, too, coming around for baseball. I know he says his internship's going to give him free tickets to some Cubs games this summer. So,
yeah,
going to see his team play. That's good for him. So, I mean, I have Ryan in my 10 spot. I mean, Ryan's on a 8-game losing streak. I feel like that kind of speaks for itself.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that.
I mean,
his team has tied for the lowest record in the league. So,
yeah.
Can't argue against it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 8-game losing streak, if there's a worse thing than freezing cold on the scale, that's what Ryan is right now. He's like an Antarctic kind of cold right now.
This might be the longest streak in Bong Joppers
history. In history, yeah, losses. I mean, I can't remember.
I'm sure Brendan's got more, but
in recent history, as far as memory,
I mean, this year, definitely.
This year, yeah.
Lost 8. I remember when Ryan was 2-1. Saying no one's going to top his 550-point week, feeling his team.
Sitting right in this room.
I think it's karma, man.
I think everyone in this room has topped his 550-point week.
I topped it twice.
I might have.
I topped
it. I ran
it
up on you last week.
I think you only got like 530. I got like 574 one week. I should have hit 600, but I had Syndergaard and Hendricks get scratched on the last day.
550,
which kind of sucked, but I don't really care.
I had 5.
I'm not top 550.
No. Okay, that's fine. Me and Dan have both topped it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'm sure Connor's
top. See, I feel like Ryan's, it's kind of karma for that, but the past week in the group, Ryan's been like, my team, man, it's just not very good. I'm disappointed in my players. I'm disappointed in my players. I mean, my team's not really doing well, and now he's winning this week. So he kind of humbled himself, and his team is doing better. So maybe reverse karma, and Ryan wins out on the year. You never know. But right now, loss 8, I got Ryan at number 10.
We were trying to calculate the probability of people making the playoffs, but that was way too much math.
So I'll put Ryan at around 5% probability, just off the top of my head.
I could see it happening. I could definitely see it happening.
Especially with Harrison losing Montas. That's his competition right now. So you never know, but I mean.
Yeah. I mean, can definitely see it happening, but it's tough.
Yeah. Hate to see Ryan lose faith in his team. I hate to put him at number 10, but got to do what I got to do. These are unbiased power rankings. I'm sorry, Ryan.
All right. Sorry to pick on your team here, Ryan. I know when you're listening to this, you're probably going to be a little pissed, but let's do a little game right here.
So, I love games.
So there's six games left.
Yeah.
Or I guess there's 7 including this week, right? So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 7 left. Tommy, if you want to come look at his schedule right here. He has 2 wins right now, 7 weeks left. Over, under, we'll just say 6 wins for Ryan.
And
or
what?
Six and a half. So, oh, 6, like, total.
With 7 weeks left?
Yeah.
6.5 wins?
Yeah.
What?
No, 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 no. Like, total wins.
Oh, on the season. Yeah, so he already has the last 7 weeks.
No, he already has two. He already has two.
Okay, so he's going to beat Will this week. Maybe.
Maybe.
It's close. I don't know the pitchers. I don't know the pitchers right now. But I think Ryan's going to win this week, so that's three.
No, it's easy four, under 6.5.
Five. I see 5 wins for Rye, so I'll go under.
I see 6, but there's just not. I don't think there's a shot.
All right, wait. Okay, we'll change it to 5.5 then.
Okay, 5.5.
We'll change to 5.5. Make it a little more exciting.
I'll go under on the 5.5, but I can easily.
I'm gonna go over. I think he's gonna beat Maitre.
Ooh.
I'm going under on the 5.5 as well. I think he's gonna win 5 games this year.
Okay. You hate to see the champion fall. I mean,
but sometimes you kind of.
Has there been
it.
A collapse like that in sports? You know, going from first to worst.
Tommy went from worst to first.
Exactly.
Like the first year he was in the league,
true underdog story, but
I think he got 10th, and that's when he did the wing challenge. But then the next year,
it was 10th. I was like 5th going into the playoffs, though.
And then something, the playoffs were.
I mean, you were last the year before. You had to do the wing challenge. Yeah, your team was bad.
We did our final standings, can't we?
Your team was bad. Not last year. I think it was the year before.
I think it was 2017.
Yeah, I think it was the year before when I think Lucas won the league that year. I think your team was like dead last.
This is like, last year.
Last year, your team was first in the regular season.
2017.
And he got upset by Harrison.
Keeps rolling.
But yeah, there is
2017. Oh, it doesn't even show.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out the new ESPN layout.
Yeah, that's Brendan.
It's pretty trash. We might move the league to Yahoo next year.
2016.
Yahoo or Fantrax. If you guys have any input on that, let us know.
I got 5th there.
But yeah, we don't know.
This was even a league.
Don't know what Tommy's. We don't know what Tommy's doing, but we're figuring it out with his team. I mean. First to worst. I really can't think about it.
It was eight.
Yeah, it was eight. But yeah, I agree. And I mean, if Brendan somehow wins this week and Ryan loses, Ryan's gonna be alone at 2-10 at the bottom of the standings. That could be a tough one to come back from. All right, moving on to power rankings up.
Yeah.
We all have different power rankings. We've already kind of talked about it, but I had Brendan at 9, Ryan at 8.
Okay, I had Brendan at 10, Kenneth at 9, and Will at 8.
I have Kenneth at 9 and Brendan at 8.
All right, so we'll talk about. We've already kind of talked about all their teams so far. So let's talk about. We'll talk about Will's team. Will has the same thing every year. Where do you have Will?
I have Will at 6. I actually love Will's team. I feel like his pitching staff is really good, like with Kershaw, Strasburg. And all those people.
His team is good.
His hitting is pretty good. I like Will's team. It's really good. And in terms of points for, I think Will is like 5th. So, I mean, his record just doesn't show how good his team is. So, I have Will at 6. I definitely feel like Will has a better team than Kenneth, who doesn't check it. Brendan, who doesn't check it either.
Yeah.
And Harrison, who just lost his best pitcher on the season. So, I mean, that's why I have Will at 6.
I made a playoff algorithm. I think I sent it to Lucas 2 weeks ago. And Will was really high on there. Because that's back when...
Ken, Will's a team you don't want to play. Will can put up numbers.
Exactly. He beat me the first week, so I got to show him some love. I mean,
he's got 341 points this week. He's only down on Ryan by like 20. He's the third most points in the league right now.
This was, I think, 2 weeks ago. And I had Connor 1, me 2, Dan 3.
Tommy's revealing his algorithm. Hold up. I have to move the mic closer
Dan
to Tommy.
Dan 3, who is 4?
I was 4.
Oh,
right?
No. Will was 4.
Will was 4. I was 5, right?
Yep. And 6 was... Damn, this is small, so...
you wanna reveal what she put into the algorithm?
Matri. 6 was Maitre. Oh,
what kind
criteria?
Of what kind of stats
I know it was like points for...
So I had total points in the last 3 games. Total points is the highest percentage. Points in the last 3 games was the second highest. Caper 9... Quality start per inning pitch, win per innings pitched plus K percentage, I think it's something like that. RBI, walk to K, home and home runs.
All right.
It was more favored on pitching than it was hitting.
Just going off of that, I hit a lot of home runs, but my team does not get a lot of RBIs for how many home runs they hit.
Okay.
And my walk to K rate is really bad. That's why, because I have Will Myers on my team, who single-handedly destroys me. And then my pitchers, like I have a few, like Hendricks and Ryu are like two of my better pitchers this year. Both their K per nines are pretty low, but they eat innings. So I mean, it's a good algorithm. I think it makes sense, but
so
I feel like that's a lot harder to predict than like who's gonna have a good season. Like
yeah, it is. Like 30% is hitting and
35% is pitching.
And then the rest is
the
points
rest
four.
Is points four. So that's another 35%. So it's all right. I think it's probably definitely changed because Will was very hot then. So you're probably...
I've been ice cold too.
You've been ice cold, but...
Again, who knows?
Well, no. I'll do it when I get home. Actually,
or you can just wait until like my players get healthy again and do it.
Yeah.
That would help me too.
I know Will came home a couple weeks ago. We watched one of the Stanley Cup Finals games with him. Says he checks his fantasy team, so I mean, good for Will.
He does. I mean, he picked up Jordan Yamamoto, who just fell twice against the Cardinals last week.
Yeah, so I mean, props to Will. Checks his team, and I think he's got a pretty good team. The record just doesn't show for it. So keep your head in the game. Don't quit out like Kenneth and Brendan.
Yeah. So what do we do? Eight through ten there.
I had. Yeah, I mean, I basically set up the number six. I had Harrison at seven, Will at six.
Okay, I had
Will at seven, Harrison at six.
Okay, I had Harrison at seven, Brady at six. I just feel like Brady, he has kind of been unlucky.
Yep.
He really has been unlucky.
He has. He has the most points against, which sucks.
And in terms of power rankings, I think his team is probably the sixth best team.
I mean, I don't like his...
It's only based on how he checks his roster and how unlucky he is. He's kind of been... But
I mean,
yes.
Personally, I'd rather face Ryan than Will, and then I'd rather face Ryan than Harrison if Harrison's checking his team.
But
that's not always the case.
I think Harrison does check his team. We were hating on him for not checking the last pod. He listened to the pod and told us that he checks his team. So he just said he had a lot of injured guys on his team. So, I mean, he said he checks his team. Doesn't really look like it at the current moment that I'm looking at it.
I feel like it could be all be interchangeable from 6 to 10.
But he did say he checked
his team. They could all be interchangeable from 6 to 10. But
I mean, I'm pretty locked in at Ryan 10, Brendan 9, Kenneth 8. I'm pretty locked into my rankings. I'm feeling good about it.
I like mine, too. I mean,
I like mine, but I think they could change.
Those are like the order that I'd want to face these people right now. That's kind of how I'm doing my power rankings.
Yeah, I mean, same. Okay, I'll
which
like
is
that.
Fair,
yeah. That's how I find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, same here.
Fair enough.
So I got Ryan at 10. All right, so
I think we all have Maitre 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think there's a clear top 4.
We've shit on Maitre's team pretty much for two straight years now.
We have.
And he's been good. Like he's always has a good record.
He wins.
His hitting is good, man. The Braves have been really hot these past 2 weeks, but with Freeman, Acuña and Arenado, that's a really solid core 3 to have right there. And I think it's really proven it's doing him well right now. Austin Riley's been a pretty good hitter since he's been up. He strikes out a lot, but he still hits a lot of bombs. But I mean, Maitre's pitching staff just like kills me. But Aaron Civale today, 21.5 points. So I mean, Quintana went -11.5, so that kind of cancels it out a little bit. But still, like,
I mean, I think Maitre's staff is terrible, and I feel like
I hate Maitre's staff.
If you catch his
Clevinger back on the IL as well.
If you catch his team on a week where the Braves only have 5 games. Or the Braves face some tough pitching matchups, like they go up against the Phillies or the Mets, a division opponent that has Syndergaard, DeGrom, Wheeler, and Motts. I mean, Maitre's team is done. Like, his hitting has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Braves players. That's over half his hitting.
To be honest, I played him the week the Braves only had 5 games, but the Braves scored more than 10 in 4 of the 5 games.
But to be fair, the Braves weren't playing very good people. I'm pretty sure they were playing like the Reds.
They had the Reds and the Rangers.
Exactly. Exactly.
I believe, in like 2 of the better hitter parks in.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, I still like Maitre's hitting overall. I think it's solid.
Yeah, overall, so. I mean, I feel like people have slept on Kepler too this year.
Yep.
MLB runs leader.
People are sleeping on Maitre's team. But getting into my 4th, I have Lucas there.
Yeah, I also have Lucas at number 4.
I also have myself at number 4. I mean,
he's just been cold.
There's no argument. Like, I can't argue that I'm better than either you, Dan, or Dan, Tommy, or Connor's team right now because I just haven't been. Like, I was struggling to beat Kenneth this week. My 3 pitchers this week, I was never that worried.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Tommy beat me by, like, almost 200 last week, like 140. I mean, I've just been tough. I mean, Springer went – in the past, like, 2 weeks, I've had Springer, Syndergaard, and Hendricks all go on the IL. Syndergaard not really, but Hendricks and Springer have been 2 of my better players all year. Snell went -19 this week. He hasn't been the same pitcher. I mean, Ho-Ram's kind of heating up. I mean, and by that I mean he's not doing as bad as he used to. So he's not doing great, but he's not doing as bad as he used to.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like looking at the points 4, I mean, Tommy, me, and Connor are the clear top 3. Lucas is in a tier of his own at 4.
Mm-hmm. And then basically the rest are just kind of jumbled in there. So, I mean, I just think Lucas is 400 points beyond the top team, but he's also like 250 points above the team below him. I mean, Lucas's team kind of, it's like he's got really good players on his team, but
his top picks just haven't performed. That's the thing. Like, Syndergaard hasn't been very good. Maybe the IL stint will kind of kick him into gear. Hoeram, I'm pretty sure it's been a full season now, like this first half and last year's second half, where he's batted around 200. I mean, the only reason why he has some value anymore is his stolen bases that give him 3 points yeah. every time, but he's been dreadful, and I feel like the Indians need him too in real life. But those are like two high picks right now that are kind of killing Lucas's team. I mean, underlying stats, Snell's a stud. I mean, if you just look at strike zone plots every game, I mean, he's a beast. I think he'll come around, but
he'll come around.
There's some concerns. I definitely think there's some concerns with Syndergaard and Horam. Machado's kind of coming around now too, but
I mean, in his last seven, Machado's hitting .435 in his last seven yeah. games. Like, he's, you know what you're getting out of Machado. Everyone, you know, oh, he's going playing Petco, like he's not going to hit as well, which is fine, but he's still going to give you, he's still going to hit around 300 and hit 30 bombs yeah. no matter how slow he starts. Exactly. He's now at 16 home runs on the year. Like, he's getting there. So yeah. I was never that worried about Machado, but yeah, Horam and Syndergaard, I just don't exactly. know.
They're trying to bank on their bounce back, but there's got to be a point where you're like, maybe it's just not going to happen.
There's know? A good chance. I have more confidence in Syndergaard to have a bounce back right now than Horam.
Yeah,
I think Horam just kind of lost some of his power. But at this point, I'm like, if I trade him away and he starts hitting again, I will never forgive myself. Like, I will never ever forgive myself. Yeah. So at this point, I'm like, I'm not gonna undervalue yeah, him that yeah. much.
I feel like maybe a little closer to the playoffs. I mean, I know last year I had Cody Bellinger on my team. He was ass going into the playoffs. I dropped him.
Yeah.
I just needed a hot hitter who was gonna perform. So I don't think we're at that point of the season yet with 6 weeks left. But if Horam is still this bad, I feel like Lucas might get to a point where he's like, he's just not gonna turn it around. And I need a hot hitter for the playoffs, you know? Yeah. So if they can at like 10 points, 15 points a week.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I think he's in a good position, though.
Or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, Springer coming back, you got guys in the DL. Like, there could be guys that heat up.
There's no concerns about it.
Springer and Syndergaard are coming back next week, so yeah. I'm going to be okay overall.
Count, yeah.
So
never count.
I'm not too worried. Obviously, I mean, yeah, Connor, you guys all have more points for than me. So I think your teams consistently have been better than mine, arguably with the exception of you, Dan. You've had a few like really bad weeks, but then you've had a few like incredible weeks. I've only had like one incredible week really this whole year. Yeah. So
my team has been coming on. I mean, it's all relying on my team's hitting. And at the beginning of the year, my hitting sucked.
So
now
bad.
They're kind of raking, especially with them getting healthy. I mean, my pitching staff's always going to give me points, but it's just yeah. about my hitting. But yeah, I mean, that's what I think about Lucas's team.
On to number three.
I have Tommy at number three.
I have Dan at number three.
I've got Connor at number three.
Wow. Okay. So we'll talk about Dan's team first. We kind of were alluding to that right there. But yeah, it's just what he said at the beginning of the year. Chris Bryant couldn't hit. Eloy couldn't hit. Judge got hurt, which Judge just came back for him. But with all those things, like, he was really struggling. But now I think Dan's team has kind of just hit full stride. Gary Sanchez was hurt too. Gary Sanchez is back. Didi's back. Like,
yeah, I have Dan too because I like his talent. He's got a lot of talent there. My only issue for him is then again, like, the relief pitchers. That's just for me.
Come on. I've got zero saves on the year, and I'm keeping it that way, and I'm winning the ship.
That's my thing, because he can get his 14 starts with some really good pitchers and also get, like, a few saves a week.
Just one relief pitcher.
I mean, this goes back to the other podcast.
We're not getting into this.
Do you want to do that? Listen to, I think it was the second podcast Tommy came on. It was an hour of debate. Just yeah. me and Tommy going back and forth.
Yeah, and then I think I left.
Yeah.
I think I left. I slammed
yeah,
the
door. exactly. Yeah, keep going.
But, yeah, his talent's there. He had more talent, arguably, with Alonso and Soroka before, but
It's
a long-term play, like we talked about before. So in the playoffs, he's going to have more talent than he would now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I really like my hitting now. I mean, I feel like top lineup to bottom lineup, it's nice.
That's why I have you ahead of Connor, is because I like your hitting more.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I lucked out with David Dahl, with him being on the waivers. Like, he's batting like 350 since I picked him up.
He's been batting like 330 or something like that, isn't he? He just hasn't been hitting nukes at, or at least earlier in the year, he wasn't getting those RBI and home runs that he valued as.
Yeah, I mean, with my other team, Eloy's heating up. Yep. I feel like Jordan Alvarez is going to be the best hitter called up for the rest of the year. And I snagged him. I mean, probably. he just rakes. And, I mean, I have my Yankees guy, so I like my hitting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, once Gary Jeanette comes back, I will have basically my full lineup that I wanted. Let's gotta see if they perform.
I guess just hitting lineup, yeah.
I don't know if Carrasco's going to pitch again this year, man. He has something wrong with his blood. That's scary, so.
Yeah, I mean, you might have leukemia. You don't know. That's probably worst-case scenario. I haven't said anything about him. Rich Hill's probably done for the year. I got stuff in the works, though. He's getting dropped soon. Once I can.
Connor drop already him. Snagged Stripling. He was taking his spot.
Nah, I got stuff in the works. Don't worry. You'll see. Big moves coming up. Not going to reveal them on the pod because I know we have probably like.
We have a few snipers out there.
100,000 listeners at this point have people listening on the league. Like yep. Insiders, you never know. So
maybe we'll discuss it next pod.
I've definitely got 3 moves I'm making tomorrow.
Exactly. We got some moves in the works, but it sucks to lose Rich Hill, but it is what it is. That's what Rich Hill does.
I mean, that's what baseball is.
I expected Rich Hill to get hurt once I had him. He had a great run. Pretty sure he averaged like 20 points to start for me. Well, I mean, what a beast. So, that's my analysis on my team. So,
you can go on my team or Connor's team.
We'll go Connor's. I have Connor at 2.
Okay, I've got Connor at 3.
I got Connor at 1.
Okay, so again, we're all jumbled in the...
Usually we're pretty consistent with our power games, but this one's been changing.
Just like right now, I mean, I still think Connor's team might be the best, like come playoff time, but Tommy's team is just so ridiculously hot right now. I'd rather face Connor's team, which I'd rather face neither of their teams, but we'll just dive into them.
For me, Connor's hitting just isn't there. That's the difference between him and Dan.
I look at it and he's got
top pitching. He's got top pitching, but then he's got streamers. He's got like 6 guys that are really good, and then he's got like 6 guys that just like are streamers.
Glass now going down for him really hurts. That hurts. Still has Cole, Grinke, Morton, Verlander are rocking.
Robbie Ray has been a beast too. And he's got Luzardo, who's might get called up soon. I mean, maybe
they said probably not.
I saw potentially 6 weeks, potentially 3, but I think with Montas getting suspended, they might accelerate him. But I mean, he's a pitcher of the future, so you never know. But I mean, if Connor can afford to hold on to him for 3 or 6 weeks, he can hold on to him, but he can.
He just got like.
But what you were saying, I think his staff is sick. I mean,
he's top heavy though.
Bieber, Ray, Morton, Grinke, Cole, Verlander, and then he's got
streamers.
A couple of guys who are those the after opener guys. I don't know what they're called, the bulk guys. To hold on to, which will give you some starts when you need.
I mean, he's going to drop Pena.
Over starts.
He did drop it. Samson's.
I mean, he had Pena for a while, then he dropped him, and now he picked him back up. So I don't know if he's going to hold on to him, but I think he's holding
Samson
on to
just Yarbrough. Got shelled against the Indians.
I think Samson's a stream. He's got the streamer spot, so his pitching's insane. I mean, his hitting's underperforming, but
he is. I
mean, talent wise, he's got JD Martinez, Mookie Betts, Anthony Rendon. Who are all like potential MVP candidates? Plus Lindor, plus Carlos Santana, who you guys were just talking up about potentially the best first baseman in the league.
But his overall,
Daniel Murphy's been raking, and then his worst two hitters are probably Josh Donaldson, who he streams, Wilson Ramos, who's a catcher, and basically all catchers suck outside of Sanchez and Grandal,
Nelson Contreras, Cruz,
and then Nelson Cruz. So having Nelson Cruz as your second worst hitter is insane. I mean, I know he has some underperforming guys, but I think his hitting's crazy. And his pitching, although it's top-heavy, he has, like, 5
I feel like it's only
studs.
Top. I feel like it's only top-heavy, though, because his top is Verlander and Cole.
It's top-heavy because
it's top-heavy because he has studs and then streamers.
He just has studs and streamers.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, mediocre pitcher. It's just, like, studs or not studs. Yeah. That's the thing. He streams everyone else because, at 1 o'clock every Sunday, you see Connor make like 4 moves picking up pitchers. Yeah. So
I think it's the opposite pitching staff of me because I don't have like a I guess Buehler's my stud, but he's not like he's good. But then I have just a bunch of average dudes in there, and then I have a couple of streamers at the end, but I don't have as many pitchers as well. So
So I mean, I really see no holes in Connor's team. That's why I have him at number 1.
I just see a hole with
having
3-0
with too many streamers on his roster. His hitting is just, I mean, his hitting's good.
So, yeah.
But I'm comparing it to mine, and I think my hitting's better.
Alright, so let's move on to Tommy's team. I think Dan and Tommy at 3.
Yep.
And then me and Tommy both have himself at 1.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy, I think over the past 5 weeks, Tommy's team's been the best, and that's with Grandal heating up, Ketel Marte heating up, Vlad kind of heating up, Bogart's hitting well, Trout, I guess, heating up. Can you even call it that? I mean, yeah, I guess so. He's hitting .464 in his last 7 days with 63 points. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's 9 points a day. Like, are you kidding me?
I think he's got like 60 against Dan or something like that.
Yeah, like that's just ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, and then Buehler proved that his sophomore slump is not going to happen. I mean, in his last four starts, 37, 32, 27 and a half, 42 and a half. That's fucking ridiculous. Zach Gallen just getting called up. He had a pretty solid first start. I still don't love his pitching staff. I know Lucchesi's pitching really well, but because I just kind
of
watch him.
It's just recently. A bunch of average dudes. Like, they're like Eddie Rodriguez, he's not a streamer, but he's not good, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel the same way with Flaherty.
Flaherty's just, yeah. But I can't drop these.
But I feel like cause... I feel like Nola's bringing it around, Buehler's bringing it around, Mad Bum's pitching well, and Mad Bum's probably going to get traded to contender here soon.
Which could be huge.
Which could
after
be big for you. And then you still got Severino on your IL, he's kind of a wild card in my mind, but... He still hasn't thrown a bullpen yet, so who even knows with him?
Yeah, I know, that's the only thing. But I have a couple of studs on the DL, and if they come back and play, then that only helps my team. Severino's going to be tough to kind of gauge.
We have no idea
what's going on with him too. Dan's probably knows more than us, but because he's probably done hella research.
And then Seager's just starting
to
heat up.
105.
That's all I was gonna say.
Yeah, you're about Severino every time. I mean, he's felt no pain in his rehab. It'll probably be
still hasn't thrown a bullpen though.
Hasn't thrown a bullpen. He's still throwing for flat ground, but he says for the past 4 weeks he's felt no pain. So it'll probably be soon, a couple weeks. So expect him to return a couple weeks after the All-Star break, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Yankees obviously don't want to rush him back with basically 50 wins on the year already, almost locked to a playoff spot. You don't want your ace to go down because it'll be valuable down the stretch.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, my opinion on Tommy's team, like his hitting. I mean, everyone's hot right now, but you don't know if they're going to be hot the entire year. I feel like that's everyone's hitting. Like with me, I got Eloy, who's hot right now, David Dahl, and Puig. And then next week, it'll probably be like Judge, Voit, and Sanchez. Like, you don't know who's going to be hot or who not. It's the same thing with me, Tommy, and Connor's roster. And looking at the pitching, I think Tommy, it's Nola and Buehler, and then I'm not really high on anyone else until Severino comes back. But Tommy's team's hot right now, but I feel like his team and my team, I think, are comparable. I just think Connor's team is in a league above everyone else's. I mean, that's what I think right now. I think Tommy and I's rosters are kind of comparable, hot or not hitters, and then, like, some solid pitchers.
I think right now, you two and Connor are
the best three
teams that like points just like points wise over the past 3 weeks. You guys are the guys who have been like
I think in the past people out of 5 or 6 weeks we've all been pretty consistent points wise.
I mean, these past 2 weeks have been a struggle for me, but before that I was still pretty high. So
yeah, I mean, I'm getting dicked by Tommy this week, but I have like the second most points in the league. So I mean, I can't really complain about the week my team is having. So. Whatever, but just based on points for, Connor has 400 points more than me and Tommy.
Tommy and I
have 400 points more than Lucas.
Okay, the only thing I see about that, though, is...
I mean, Connor...
When I face a Brendan, Connor gets 14 starts every week. You do, too, probably. But I don't get 14 starts a week when I'm playing Brendan, because I don't need him.
Yeah.
Or if I'm up on Kenneth a lot, or even somebody else, like... I guess
last time I played Brendan, I had two starters on Sunday that I just dropped because I didn't want them.
But the thing is, that's not going to make up 400 points.
No, but
not 400 points, but I also got off to a cold start. I always do.
I
think throughout the whole season, Connor's team's been better, but right now I'd rather play Connor's team than Tommy's team.
See, I still don't agree with that. I feel like
that's fair.
In the playoffs, like, I don't want Verlander, Cole, Morton, Greinke, Ray, all those guys pitching against my team on two-star weeks. Like, that's all, like, 50 points from all those guys. Like, I don't know. I feel like Connor's floor of his team is so low. That's the thing.
It's
like,
high.
Like, his floor is high.
His floor is high.
Yeah.
Okay.
His floor is high. Like, you're not going to see Connor's team have, like, a 300-point week.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it's just not going to happen.
His floor is high.
Tommy and I's floors are considerably lower than Connor's.
But I think our ceilings are much
not much higher, but are higher.
I think our
ceiling. I think you have the highest ceiling.
Our ceilings. I mean, I think I have the most points scored in a single week this year. So
you have the highest ceiling.
My ceiling is really high, but I mean, I feel like Connor and you both have comparable ceilings. I just think Connor's floor is just so much higher than everyone else's.
I think
that you know when you play Connor, you're gonna have to score 450 points, or you're gonna lose. I feel like that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like I would have beat Connor the past couple weeks, but that's with his team scoring 420 plus. Like that's the thing.
Then again, though, like if you're looking at it in the playoffs, though, like it could be complete. Like last year, my team was far and away the best, and then when I got to the playoffs, I had one bad week basically the whole year.
Well, yeah, and that's something that we tried to fix with the 2 week playoffs, and so, I think we'll fix it.
And I think that will fix it, yeah. But if you're in the championship and you're facing another good team, one bad week can kill you.
Absolutely.
Like last week, I beat you by 140. It'd be tough to come back from it.
Yeah, I feel like that's why Connor's team's going to be so good in the playoffs. Like, his floor is so low, he's guaranteed floor to put up. High. With 2 weeks, he's... Oh, floor's... What? Fuck. I mean, his floor is so high, he's guaranteed to put up at least 900 points. Yeah. I feel like, in the matchup. And the thing is, if your team doesn't explode, then it's just not going to happen.
I feel like my team really hasn't been, great. Like, Vlad still hasn't really done much yet. Meadows has been cold this week. Yeah, Trout's made up for it.
I mean, Trout's been hot. Soto's been hot. Grandal's been hot. I mean, it's just hot and
Marte.
Cold.
Marte, but Bell's not playing.
It's just hot and cold players.
He's been all right.
You know? I feel like just the talent on Connor's roster is just, like, consistency. He's got Rendon, Lindor, Martinez, Betts. Like, it's just...
If you catch him on a two-star week with Morton, Cole, and Verlander, yeah, like, you're probably losing.
And that's what he's going to have in the playoffs. Like...
Yeah, but no, with the 2 week thing though.
Every pitcher's gonna get two starts. You don't catch him on a 3-star week, I guess. Note that your ace is at 3 starts, but it's just Connor's floor is just like so high.
I just think overall I have a better roster.
They're all opinions.
I think Dan has probably the most talented roster. So by year's end, Dan's team could be...
Again, these are all just what we think right now, like, and especially when we're trying to, predict into the playoffs. Like, you never, like... Connor could be without Cole and Verlander come playoff time. I mean...
They could go down.
Knowing Connor's luck, that might actually happen, but...
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen. So, it's just kind of... It's hard to project into the playoffs right now. Just over the past 3 weeks, I would rather play Tommy's team. Or I'd rather play Connor's team than Tommy's team. So, yeah, it's just kind of subjective.
I mean, I basically did my power rankings as... like, who I'd want to trade rosters with. If I had to swap teams, I feel like if I could swap my entire team with Connor's team, I'd do it.
I'd do Tommy's team right now.
That's what I'd do.
Fair enough. Again.
So, let's not forget Sale went down the playoffs last year for me, so.
That's true.
Or else I might
still have... Still salty at that first
or
round.
Or else I might have that ship. I might have that ship. But.
Exactly. I mean... Pretty
Fair
sure
enough.
The only shit was on at Oak Leaf, right?
Yeah. Dan's got...
I know.
I got...
Dan's got like 1.5. Ryan's got 1, and I've got 1.
Yeah.
Let's go. Winning with that Yankees team, 200 points in the championship.
That was so fun.
Carried by 40 by Rich Hill.
I know.
Love it. After taking down Connor's God Squad. All right, but I feel like that's all
Let's
we got
wrap up the
rankings.
Pod.
I mean, I think it was a pretty good pod, you know?
It was a pretty good pod.
Pretty good pod. Basically... Yep. Power rankings heavy and all-star game heavy. So.
Yeah, not a lot of variety, but I feel like we covered what we wanted to cover here.
Yeah,
so
yeah, got our opinions good. In. So,
yep. Good body. Closing thoughts, Tommy. Closing thoughts.
This could be a big finish for me and Dan. I know I got a couple of pitchers tomorrow that are borderline negatives. Like you never know, they could throw up some negatives. So I think if I get a good win tomorrow, that'll put me in a good position, at least in the division.
Absolutely.
Because Matry could go down, too.
Absolutely.
A couple, game ahead of him. A couple games ahead of Dan, which would be nice. But nothing else for me.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really been checking my team that much this week, or like the full standings, because Tommy's just been blowing me out of the water. So I think he's got me this week. But I mean, Lucas is going out to the bars for the first time tonight in Wilmington.
Big bars.
And he's gonna go off.
He's going off.
I mean, Lucas and Tommy, big night.
There you go, mate.
Big night. So, I mean, if Lucas comes back before, like, 4 a.m., I'll be like, what the fuck, dude? Come on.
But yeah, big night ahead for Lucas.
So. Actually, I've never gone to the beach after the bars, so a lot of people do that. So we'll do that tonight.
Go to the beach after the bars?
Yeah.
I'm in. Let's do it.
I know you're into that.
Take another mile swim. just kidding, Mom. Not going to do that. So, all right. Yeah, I think that wraps up the pod here. You know, I'm excited to get my players back definitely next week. Big matchup against Connor. Going to have to... yeah, really gonna have to put up some points more than I have recently. But yeah, excited to be back in Wilmington. I know it's just for 2 days, but you know it was a nice much needed break. Working 5 days a week right now. You know, me and Tommy on that professional level. Yeah. I know Connor.
I feel like actually
Connor and yeah, exactly. So yeah,
I'm gonna be working.
You'll get used to that.
I'm gonna be working 9 to 5 starting Monday, Monday through Friday.
You're gonna wake up. You're gonna go to bed Friday, and wake up on Monday. That's how I feel. Except this weekend, but it's just felt different because I'm doing something.
Yeah. Exactly. The grind starts soon. I know the guy who's supervised me for my internship said he had a lot of work and an action-packed summer planned for me, and I'm doing it for 6 to 8 weeks. So.
Yep.
It's gonna be a lot, so I mean,
here we go.
Making bank, can't complain. Haven't really done much this summer before, so I'm excited. I'm excited for my internship.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. No, we're all working hard. So
shout out Brendan in Chicago. Said he's loving his internship at Heinz right now.
Spent $200 million on pickles the other day. He told me.
Good for
so
him.
I mean, no one really can say that about their life.
Hey.
So.
Brendan, could see you there in a few years if we're both full time there.
Ooh. Never know.
Chi-Town guys, so.
Draft there, one there.
I'd be down. Dude. All right. 1 year, we got to do a draft in Vegas.
No, I'm down.
Just like one time. Okay. Just like blow it out of the water. Probably when we're like 30 and everyone's like made some money.
Yeah. Exactly.
Save up like $1,500. Like just blow it out of the water one time.
What, for gambling?
Just for gambling?
We're like 15,000.
Yeah.
But yeah. You know. But, you know, that's a talk for another time.
Yeah,
but,
it is.
All right, boys, hope you enjoyed the pod. I know we enjoyed bringing it to you again. Hope everything's going well with everybody. You know, keep in touch. If you guys are ever in Charlotte, hit us up. Dan, and Tommy are there all summer. I know Dirk's back for the
and
summer
Ryan,
now, too.
Ryan's in Charlotte all summer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Ryan Mature are also in Charlotte for the summer. So,
yes, sir.
If you guys are ever back, let us know. Definitely get a bros night going. But
yeah, exactly.
Until then, hope you guys are doing well. Keep hitting bombs. Keep dropping thongs. Love you guys.